This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Parshas Vayigash. So, the opening idea that I'd like to share comes from the first pasuk of this week's parsha. If you've got the handout there, it's the first box. If you're listening online, j.goldberg@gmail.com, please email me and I'll send you the handouts. So the first pasuk says, Vayigash Elov Yehuda, Vayome Bi Adoni Yedabe No, famous opening pasuk. This is high drama. Yosef HaTzadik, unbeknownst to his brothers, is of course about to reveal himself. And the situation till now is sort of rock bottom. The Shvatim discovered that Yosef is going to take Binyamin after all the goblet was found in Binyamin's bag. And what's going to be with Yaakov Avinu? And he says, look, the rest are free to go, but not Binyamin. And now Yehuda feels the responsibility to come forward and to speak to Yosef. So Vayigash Elov Yehuda, Yehuda sort of approaches Yosef. Now there's a very interesting Rekeach. The Sefer HaRekeach, it's the second box, says, HaMispalel, a person who davens, Sorich Sheyitin Einov Lamata V'Libbe Lamala, his eyes should be downwards, but his heart should be upwards. In other words, a person should stand in sort of a submissive form, but his heart should be turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should take three steps forward when he begins his Shemoneh Esra. That's what we do. We take three steps back and then three steps forward as we begin our Shemoneh Esra. Why? Says the Rekeach, Shekosov Gimel Hagoshos L'Tfilah. It says three times Vayigash in Tanakh in reference to Tfilah. Vayigash Avraham, Vayigash Yehuda in this week's Edra, Vayigash Eliyahu. So because it says three times Vayigash, therefore we take three steps. Says Rav Steinman, I saw this in the Talalei Oiras, in the name of Rav Steinman. Take a look at the next box. Haminaku, Shekoidim Tefilas Shemoneh Esrei Poisim Gimel Pasiyas. We take three steps before we begin our Shemoneh Esrei. Umakar Haminuku Berakeach, like I just mentioned, Shabia Hatam Shegimel Pa'omim Matsim Bater Vayigash Vayigash Avram Vayigash Av Yehuda Vayigash Eliyahu. Good. Ask Rav Steinman a beautiful question. Ach Lichora Ein Zeh Muvan. I don't understand this Rekeach. What Harishimash Nigesh Yehuda El Yosef Koidim Shehochel Adaber Imoi. The reason why Yehuda approached Yosef when he wanted to speak to him, afal pishaya oimed kva korvelov, I mean, presumably he was quite close anyway, but why did he get even closer? Harizemishrum, shekachu ha'ergish ba'adam, but that's the nature of man, shekashe wrote to levakish dovam mi'adam, who wrote to Yosef korvelov. When you want something from the person and you've got something very important to say, you get a little bit closer and you ask him. What on earth has that got to do with tefillah? What relevance does that have to tefillah? Am I getting sort of closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a physical entity, so taking three steps closer is not going to get me closer to him. So I understand with Yehuda, he wanted to get closer to Yosef, but how is taking three steps at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei going to get us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says Rav Stein, Roim Mikan, Ki B'Shah She'Omed Adam Nispalel Vakesh Mashem. When a person is getting ready to daven, Olav LaHargish Shehu Muchruch La'Asos Mashem. The person who is about to daven has got to feel that he's got to do something. He can't just stand there and just, you know, hope that it's going to happen by itself. Muchruch La'Asos Mashem. He's got to do something. Lo Nishar B'Mkoymai, not to just stand in his place. El La'Asos Ezeh Pe'ula Shel Kirva. Some act, some motion of getting closer. Even though in reality I'm not getting closer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a physical entity to which I can get closer to. But you cannot stand in the position you were in prior to tefillah. There needs to be some movement on your part. And moreover, I'm at the penultimate paragraph of this box. The Vayigash that is made reference to with Avraham, Vetzel Eliyahu Anovi, Asher Kol Atzmon Lo Hisicha Das Mitvekas Hashem Yisborach. Avraham and Eliyahu Anovi, they were giants whose spiritual status and stature is beyond our understanding. But yet, even Avraham Avinu, even Eliyahu HaNavi, when they were coming to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they felt the need to have a Hisairus Chadosha, a new sort of focus. They felt they needed to come closer to do something. If that's true for Avraham, for Eliyahu HaNavi, when they came close to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then how much more so for us? And moreover, Zosod, not only was the fact that Avraham Avinu was living in a constant state of Shevisi Hashem and Negdi Somid, that he totally had an awareness and he was cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu 24-7, before it says the word Vayikash Avraham, Dibber Kuviyochim Hashem Yisborach, Kumo Yishnem of Avraham Edenu Emid Lifnei Hashem. Prior to the Vayikash of Avraham, Avraham Avinu was anyway talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Harishinim Tzaboiso Imadrega Nevuah. That means he was having a Nevuah at that moment, and yet he wanted to then say something and speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu further, Vayikash of Avraham. Shehoya Hadveikos Ayosek Dere Bein Nivra Leboreh Baruch Hu. But he was in a state of Nevuah, which is the closest sort of connection you have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Afar Pikei Netfilah Haya Nitzrach La'achonis Nosefesh Vayigash, and yet he wanted something a little bit more. Harikama Godel Madregas HaTfilah. What an amazing lofty level of Tfilah that you need to get even closer, even if you're in the middle of a Nevuah, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I want Vayigash love you, Avraham, to get even closer. So a very interesting insight of Rabbi Aaron Yehuda Leib Steinman, Zatzal, that this Rekeach, what is it teaching us? Vayigash Elov Yehuda, that he gets closer, I understand he gets closer to Yosef, but how is that possible in the case of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How does the Rekeach see that you see from here that the Gimel Pesias that we take before Shemin Esra is sourced in the Gimel Hagoshes, Vayigash Avraham, Vayigash Yehuda, Vayigash Eliyahu, with Yehuda, he's getting close to a human being. Teretz is to remind us that we always need, we cannot stand in our previous situation. When you come to Davin, you've got to do something. You've got to take a step. You've got to move forward. You've got to try and be proactive and constantly move forward and do something about it. Okay, so that's the first offering. Let's move on. Next paragraph. Paragraph 2. The Pasuk says, Vayiso Yisrael b'chol ha'shelo vayovo be'er shav. And Yisrael, that's Yaakov Avinu, travels v'chol asher lo, and he comes to Be'er Sheva. V'yizbach zvachim lelokei aviv Yitzchak, and he offers up sacrifices to the God of his father Yitzchak. Fine, Yaakov Avinu has discovered that Yosef is alive. He is, of course, delighted. His soul is revived. But you know, he's sort of rejuvenated, and then he offers up korbanos, but to who? Lelokei aviv Yitzchak. Now, let me ask you a question. Do we have an obligation to honor grandparents? Of course, there's a mitzvah of kibud aveim, but is there a mitzvah of kibud of grandparents? So, very interesting Rashi on these words, on this week's parasha. Lelokei aviv Yitzchak, says Rashi, why lelokei aviv Yitzchak? Why not lelokei aviv Avraham? Says Rashi, Chayev Adam b'chved Aviv, Yoyse mikoved Ziknoi. A person is more obligated to honor his parents than he is to offer his grandparents. Lefichach Tola b'Yitzchak v'leb Avraham. And therefore he offered up these sacrifices, Le'elokei Aviv Yitzchak, because he's got more responsibility, more obligation to honor his parents than his grandparents. What do you see from here? You see from here that there is an obligation to honor grandparents, just not as much as the kibbutz that is due to parents, but there is some obligation. Now, this Rashi has a bearing in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, because Yoredei in Hilchas Kibbutz Avim in Siman Reish Mem Sif Chafalet, the Ramah says the following. Yeshayim, says the Haggah, says the Ramah, Yeshayim, there are those who say, the Ein Odom Chayev B'chovim Avi, that a person, is not obligated to honor a grandparent. You don't have to honor your grandparents. He's quoting the Maharik. The Eino Nirali, says the Ramah, that I don't agree with him. I think one should honor grandparents. It's just that one is more obligated to honor parents than to honor grandparents. One is still obligated to honor grandparents. And he then says in brackets, and he quotes the medrash that our Rashi in this week's parsha quotes, that it says, and therefore the reason why I offered up to the father of, to the godless father Yitzchak, not Abraham, is because the person is more is more obligated to honor his parent than his grandparents. Fine. Now, interestingly, there is a Taz on this Shulchan Aruch. The Taz, one of the greatest commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, says, Bekovet obvious, there came Pirush Rashi Bechumish. This is Rashi in our Sedra, that one is obligated to honor grandparents, just parents more. Because it says, V'yibazvachim derkei avim Yitzchak. The Tema says the Taz, I don't understand the Maharik. Well, what is the first opinion that the Ramah brings? How can the Maharik say that Ein Adam Chayev Bechved Avi Aviv, Shehu Maharik, the Ne'elam Mimenu Pirush Rashi Bechumish? I mean, it seems to be Mefurish Rashi and Chumish. Now we're dealing with giants, the Maharik. So it says the Taz, I don't understand the first opinion that the Ramah brings and rejects, because, you know, doesn't the Ramah have a compelling argument, a compelling proof, namely Rashi in this week's parasha? Now, that's just an interesting Taz. Another interesting point is that the Shach and the Taz are the two main commentaries in Yerideya, but the Shach also wrote a sefer called Nekudas HaKesef, and that's a commentary on the Taz. And the Nekudas HaKesef on this Taz just makes a very interesting point. He says, I'm surprised by the Taz's comment. He says, V'lo yadati machidish b'zeh. First of all, because this is a crush of the Darkei Moshe. The Darkei Moshe, which is also the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, of course, they wrote the Shulchan Aruch together, the co-authorship of the Shulchan Aruch. But they both wrote Svarim, the Yosef Cairo, the Mechaba, the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote the Beis Yosef, which is a commentary on the Torah, and the Darkei Moshe is also a commentary on the Torah. And what sort of emerged from those writings were the Shulchan Aruch and the writings of the Yosef Cairo, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba, and the Ramah. But in Darkei Moshe, he asks the Kasha on the Maharik. He says it's Mefurish, not like him. V'lo yadati machidish b'zeh. So why is the Taz asking this question? I mean, what is he adding? The Efsha, listen to this. The Efsha mashmanei the Pirush Rashi b'chumish ragul yes in the Medrash. In other words, the Ramah quotes a Medrash. But the Taz, when he asks the Kasha on the Maharik, how can the Maharik say there's no chiyuv to honor grandparents? It's a Mefurish Rashi in this, etc. Why doesn't the Taz bring the Medrash? Why does the Ramah brings the Medrash, but the Taz doesn't bring the Medrash? So then the Shach says that maybe because people are more familiar with Chumash Rashi than they are with Midrashim. Interesting observation. Why? Not that everyone learns Chumash Rashi, or hopefully should learn Chumash Rashi. It's one of the most beautiful limudim. But he says, interestingly, he says the Shach, Mishum Shekosu Ksas Poskim, the Rashi B'mokum Targum. According to some poskim, there's a mitzvah Shai Mikra V'Tarech HaTargum. That's a mitzvah in Shulchan Aruch. And according to some poskim, Rashi could be learned instead of the Targum. And therefore, Shechai V'od Mikra Shai Mikra V'Echot Targum. And therefore, some people would have the view that you can learn the Parsha twice with Rashi, and that's for Shai Mikra V'Echot Targum. So therefore, obviously, people are more familiar with Rashi, and that's why the Taz asked the Kasha from Rashi and not from this Medrash. Okay, but either way, I thought a very interesting insight that you've got a Rashi in this week's Sedra, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch, and which is the source of agitation, that how come the Maharik didn't notice this Rashi, because seemingly the Rashi proves clearly that there is a mitzvah to honor grandparents from this week's parasha. Okay, let's press on. So you have the famous reunion of Yaakov and of Yosef. Pasuk says, "Vayeser Yosef merkavto, vayal likras Yisrael aviv goyishna." And Yosef himself, he sort of prepares his chariot, and he goes up likras Yisrael aviv goyishna. He goes up to meet his father Yisrael. Vayera elov, and he appears to him. Vayipol al tzavarav, and he sort of falls on his neck. Vayev al tzavarav oid, and he cries on his neck. Now, it's not immediately clear from the pasuk. Who is Vayera Elov? Who is appearing to whom? Says Rashi, Vayera Elov, Yosef Nira El Aviv. Yosef is appearing to his father, Yaakov Avinu. Therefore, you read the Pasuk, So Yosef Merkav. So Yosef prepares the chariot. Vayal, Likras Yisrael, and he goes up to meet his father Yisrael. Vayeru Elov, and Yosef appears to his father. How do we know it's that way around? Well, the Mefarshim and Rashi deal with it. The Mizrahi and Rashi says, well, I'll prove it to you, because it says, Vayeru Yosef, he is the subject in question. He is the one who prepares his chariot. He is the one who's going up. And therefore, he is the one who's appearing to his father. The Sifsei Chachomim, in the name of the Marshal, says slightly different. The Ein Shaiach Lomar She Yaakov Nira Le Yosef. You can't say it's the other way around. But Yaakov is appearing to Yosef. Shari Yaakov Le Holach Le Haris Ela Niras Le Roso Holach. Because Yaakov is coming to see, not to be seen. V'oyit Shehalach in Mitzrayim Lo Gursham Avol Yosef Holach Le Kros Le Haris Le Lovid. And furthermore, Yaakov is coming down to Mitzrayim to dwell there, and Yosef is merely going to greet him, laharas le'ovit, to make himself appear to his father. So either way, the Sifsei Chachomim and the Mizrahi prove how Rashi knows that Yosef nira elovit. But either way, what the pasuk is clear means, vayera elov, and Yosef appears to his father. Now, I came across a lovely pshat in the Chumash of Rabbi Yaakov Bender. Rabbi Yaakov Bender is Rosh Yeshiva in America, one of the great mechanchim of our time. And he's got a new Chumash out. I think we've quoted it once or twice before. And he says a nice, very interesting insight into this Rashi. He starts with a story of the great Rav Meir Shapiro. Rav Meir Shapiro is one of the real colorful characters and giants of the 20th century. Whenever I go to Poland with school and I take a group of the boys and also the girls, we go to Lublin. And we spend the night in the yeshiva of Chachmi Lublin. And for me, that is one of the highlights of the trip. And you're sitting in the Beis HaMedrash with all the boys, and you're learning in the Beis HaMedrash where the yeshiva of Chachmi Lublin learns. And it's just it's a wonderful experience. Because the Rameh Shapiro not only changed the world by introducing Daf Yomi, which has literally changed the world, but he revolutionized how the yeshiva system. The yeshiva system until the Rameh Shapiro was very primitive. It was Essen Teg, it was poverty stricken. You would eat a meal a day in different people's homes in the community, and there'd be a base measure, that would be it. But he realized that this is not the way forward. He collected enormous sums of money and he built the famous yeshiva of Chachmi Lublin, which was a landmark, majestic yeshiva. The whole lifespan of the yeshiva was very short, because this was in the mid-30s. And it didn't last for very long until the war came. But it was much more enduring because it changed the whole psyche to the standard, the norms in yeshivas today is really based on what he achieved. That there should be dining rooms, there should be dormitories, there should be shir rooms, and the chadachal, and of course the big base of medrash. That's all really what Rameh Shapiro innovated. But anyway, he was collecting money for Chachmi Lublin, and he was in America. And he was staying with an American youth, and he asked for a hairbrush. He had an appointment. Before he went out, he asked his host, could I have a hairbrush? So I guess the host thought it was a bit strange. You know, Rameh Shapiro was a great Gadol Bat Torah, and to have a hairbrush to sort of brush his hair before he went out seemed a little bit, brush his beard, seemed a little bit unusual. But Rameh Shapiro said that I'm going out to meet an American philanthropist. And I don't want him to see me. I'm going to appear before him. And I want him to see me as I'm representing Torah. And therefore, I have to be smart in the eyes of the person who's seeing me. And therefore, I don't want to be seen as sort of disheveled, European Jew. And really, it was, as Roy Bender puts it, that this concept was a creative expression of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's teaching that a person's face is a Rishus HaRabim, that a person's face is sort of public property, and therefore I am going to meet this person, and therefore I have to appear in a very dignified fashion. And it's no surprise, therefore, that Daf Yomi, he sort of innovated Daf Yomi because he had the belief that he belonged to those he came in contact with. And therefore, he appeared to this philanthropist in the way that the philanthropist would sort of appreciate it. So says Rav Bender, that's exactly what's going on over here in this week's parsha. That Yosef longed to see his father, but he rose above that desire and allowed himself to appear to his father, so that to allow his father the joy and the pride of that moment. So he was more concerned about not what I would get out of it, but I would be appearing in front of my father, so I would allow my father, if you like, to sort of the joy and the pride of enjoying the moment. That's what it means. Vayera elov, that Yosef nir eloviv, I was not focused on my own desires at that point. I appeared in front of my father. And interestingly, Rabbi Benza says that that's what goes on in last week's parasha as well. Because in parashas Vayeshev, with the episode of the butler and the baker, at the end of the parasha, the pasuk says, Vayovay aleihem Yosef baboike, and Yosef comes to them in the morning, Vayarasom hine zoyafim, and he sees that they're agitated. Vayishan esrise haparoi asher itzai pamishmar, madua penechem roam hayoim. What's up? What's the problem? Why are you so downcast? What's the problem? And what do you see? That in the darkest of times, when Yosef is languishing in prison, he rose above his own pain to see another person. And so to now, in this week's parasha, he, in the happiest of times, he's being reunited with his father, he rose above his own personal desire to see his father, but he went to appear in front of his father so his father could enjoy him. The remarkable greatness of Yosef HaTzadik. So there we have tonight's offering. Three ideas. The first idea, the Rekeach, that it says Vayigash three times in Tanakh, Vayigash Avraham, Vayigash Yehud, and Vayigash Eliyahu. And because of those three Vayigashes, it says that the Rekeach says that we take the Gimel Pasiyos, that we take three steps before we start the Shmuna Esra. Asra Shtayman, I can understand with Avraham and Eliyahu, that's the Tefillah. But with Yehuda, he's approaching Yosef. That's any human being. When he wants to say something of importance or perhaps even private, you go a bit closer to that person. But how is that Shaykh HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does that mean? The answer is, says Reb Shteinman, that a person has to do something when he dines. He's got to feel that I've got to do something. I've got to take a step. I've got to move a little bit. I can't just stand in the position I was in before I begin the tefillah. I've got to move. I've got to, there needs to be something. So that's the idea. And additionally, Reb Shteinman says, that's the amazing point, that with Avraham Avinu, with Eliyahu Navi, even though they're in this sort of very lofty level of Shavisi Hashem and Negdis Omid, they have this constant connection and awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but still they need to go further and further. And even Avraham Avinu, who was in the middle of a Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was talking to him, but still when it says Vayigash Avraham, Vayigash, he still felt the need to get that bit closer, to do something. And then we have this interesting halacha that is sourced in the Rashi in this week's Sedra, quoting the Medrash, that when Yaakov offered up the Korbanos, it says, Vayizbach Zvachin L'Rekeav of Yitzchak, says Rashi, that a person is more obligated on his parents than grandparents, but a person is still has an obligation to honor grandparents, and therefore the Ramah says, it's he rejects the opinion of the Maharik, that a person has no obligation to honor grandparents, rather says the Ramah, a person does have an obligation to honor grandparents, not the same as parents, but does have an obligation. And the Taz, based on this Rashi, says, I don't understand the opinion of the Marik. How could he have overlooked this? And the Nekudas Kesef, the Shach, just makes this point that why does the Taz ask from the Rashi, not from the Medrash? Maybe because the Medrash is more, the Rashi is more familiar to us than the Midrashim. And the last idea was that of that Vayera Elof, says Rashi, Yosef Nira Elovim. It's Yosef is the one who appears to his father. And the idea being that he made himself available to rise above his own personal desire to see his father. But I'm going so that I can appear towards my father, that he can appreciate seeing me. And that was the real focus of Yosef HaTzadik. And so too, in the darkest of times, he rose above his own pain to see the needs of others. And so too, in the happiest times, the reunion of Yaakov and Yosef in this week's Parsha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.